This is a momentous day, an amazing day. In case you haven't noticed yet, Wizards actually corrected some of their mistakes on Arena today. It shut down for me.
Can you look at the board while you're sideboarding again?
They precisely did that. I got a maintenance thing at about noon today, and I'm like, what? And I turned it back on, and suddenly you can see again.
The number of times, and the number is equal to N, which is equal to every time, that I left a game to... or a game one to sideboard. I went, wait a minute, what am I playing against?
Oh, so often. Like, what colors are
one, I've come to rely on it. I have. And two, you know.
Also the annoyingness of...
death sticks.
In Paper Magic, you can like, hey, as the game's ending, go, hey, I want to look at your graveyard.
Yeah.
And in this now, I'm like, I don't remember the spells they played.
Oh, I don't even remember the archetype I'm up against sometimes. I'm just like, wait, what? All right, well, I won, so my main deck must be good enough. Here we go.
An old standby.
And welcome to the fucking dark stream. Darth Rictus.
Darth Zero.
Darth Cogentes.
Now, while Wizards managed to pull this off... While Wizards pulled this off, Daybreak pissed off all the MTGO finance bros.
Oh, no, what occurred?
Wait, there's finance bros for MTGO.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What are they riding to the moon?
Fucking vintage Moxes and other shit. I don't know,
well, there's
man.
Also one of the biggest crypto trading sites on there that is MTG stocks. Because all of the crypto bros, all the MTG bros who are doing that and trade funding, hedge funding, all that shit, they then just moved into the crypto thing and turned it into a crypto exchange.
So the company, Daybreak, that's in charge of handling all of Modo, they had a glitch, and the glitch fucked up a bunch of challenges, so they decided they would compensate them. And then when they decided to compensate them, they accidentally gave everybody copies of the set from Murders of Karloff Manor.
Well, that's some good compensation, if you ask me.
Yeah, if you participated in these challenges and anything glitched, you just got a set of Murders of Karloff Manor. So apparently an extra like 500 sets came out and tanked all the value. So all the finance bros are like, it's not even worth drafting, man.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
Good. I love that for them.
I do. I mean...
The cards are reasonable.
I'm so happy they're having the time they deserve to have.
That's so many fun cards in this set.
I have really enjoyed... this is the first time I think I went in knowing like jack shit nothing about a set. Because I've always, over the course of us talking, leading up to this during these podcasts, I'll wind up looking at my phone while we're talking and checking out some cards. But we've been distracted lately.
Sure.
And we really didn't talk about this set at all, other than you, Rictus, saying, there's a few cards, but that's it. We didn't discuss them or anything.
Yeah.
So I've been reading these cards as I've been drafting and like surprised at what they do. And it reminds me of being like a kid and opening packs of a new set and just getting to experience the new set for the first time with it in my hands.
The first time I cracked a pack and I saw Vesuvian Doppelganger and I'm like, what is this?
It had good art. It had really good art.
My first pack was Portal and I got Abyssal Horror. That was awesome.
I don't even remember what Abyssal Horror is.
It's a 2/2 with flying for 6 mana that makes them discard 2 cards when it comes into play.
Double black 4. And it was good. Portal, it was good.
Yeah.
Speaking of great cards, that reminds me of Hypnotic Spectre, which I'm going to figure out a way to use in Vintage.
Oh, God. It's such a fucking cool card. I wish that it was good enough.
Right.
It's so close to being so close.
Just make that it random, black and we were there.
Yeah, black would be there.
I think I've got it for how to make Hippie work in the modern era. If we're going to leave the random discard thing, I hope we do because that's fun.
It is.
It has ward, discard a card.
You give it the graveyard trespasser treatment?
Yep.
I could see that.
So you can shock it, but it's also going to cost you a spare mountain.
I think at that point you can make it triple black with the ward
discard. I don't know that you have to, but you could if you wanted to be more fair about it.
That'd be spicier.
Yeah. It opens up a bunch of things in other formats. It'd still see play, but it's not as easily broken.
Yeah, you can't just have your free, Mishra's whatever that attacks for 2 from this set.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Model Black has been like slowly power creeping back into prominence again. It's actually making top eights at Pioneer events now, where people are just running the full invokes on the top end. They're not going into Rakdos or Fable anymore. They're like, we are just a fucking invoke deck with gifted Aetherborns.
Mono Black and Timeless is probably the best deck. Mono Black and Explorer is pretty good. Mono Black and Pioneer is tier one, maybe 1.25.
Is Mono Black, like, is it viable in Timeless right now, given that I've heard Timeless got ruined by Show and Tell?
Necropotence.
I've heard Show and Tell is the problem because everybody's just going for Show and Tell Atraxa all day long.
There's a lot of ways to stop that, though.
Mm-hmm. Turn one Necro is still, I don't think there's anything more powerful on its own to,
like,
do.
You can just needle. No, wait, is Show and Tell, you said, or like, is it the enchantment? Sneak attack.
Show and Tell is the big problem right
okay,
now.
Yeah, you can't needle that. But you can needle a sneak attack.
Yep. Needling the Necro is a real card. It's a real plan. I play needles for that purpose.
You know, if Show and Tell is actually just all over the place, why not just board in like four Atraxas and like something else too, and just fucking beat them at their own game?
So I was about to mention, sure, the original tactic used when Show and Tell became big back in the day. This is what, Time Spiral? No. Time... Oh, what set was
Show and Tell was in? Was in Urza Saga block. Urza, I don't Urza remember what set it was. It might have been Urza's Destiny, but it was in that block.
Do they enter simultaneously?
Yes.
So you could play Tidebinders off the board just to troll them.
Right, and it's their turn, so their shit would go on the stack first, and then your shit would resolve.
Right.
So yeah, you could bring in Atraxas to get the action, or just Tidebinders because you can cast them maybe.
Like, yeah, you have a 7/7 and I have a 3/2, but I didn't have to like overboard.
Well, no, this why is not just do this good better? Anyway. We each put in an Atraxa, but my Atraxa grabs me my Tidebinder and I turn yours off.
If you've got the mana to do that as well, yeah, in that moment.
I mean, you know.
Which would be awesome.
Why wouldn't you? The greed is good. The greed is good.
When the format just gets stifle like that, it, you know.
I mean,
stifle is in.
Yeah, stifle is in. You could go that hard.
I love stifle. I want stifle to be good again. Make stifle great again.
Was it ever great, it was, or was it always just kind of okay and sometimes
that's
good?
That's the real blue MAGA. Make stifle great again.
It was great at one point because everyone was running at least 10 to 12 fetch lands, and so it was land destruction.
Oh, right. The turn one LD spell.
Boom. Yeah. Well, that was the number one thing it did, was counter fetch lands.
People ran trick bind because they wanted extra stifles to LD people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can't counter that motherfucker.
Yep.
I've heard rumors there's a decent merfolk list in Timeless with Spreading Seas, and it's going that same route. With stifles and Spreading Seas.
I thought Spreading Seas was restricted.
Nope. That's the one that didn't get it restricted. You can run all four.
Oh, I did not even realize that. Okay, I might have to look at
it. They left that one alone. They left Blood Moon alone. They're like, you do get mana disruption. Okay. But no, it's a thing, apparently. I haven't gotten a chance to fuck with it, but I don't know. I'm curious. Like, LD Merfolk, just go at it.
I've had fun when those decks have been real.
Right.
Because Jund was legal at the same time, so I played that instead.
That's fair.
But
that's
yeah, fair. They did like stone rain my lands by turning them into islands.
That's what we'll do. We'll get back to that fine stasis that Rictus and I played, where we're playing 10 LD Merfolk, which was 10 things that turned things into Merfolk islands. Yep.
Yeah, that shit was dope. Oh my God, people got mad. I locked out. I made a mono red player discard for hand size capacity.
I love it.
He was so mad. Just...
My approach was just play 26 land and like, this is going to take them forever to kill me anyway, and Lightning Bolt's legal, so I can like pick off one or two things.
But this was like the regional right before that became a big deal. So okay. We had so much fun with it because nobody was really thinking it was a thing.
People hadn't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we both just smashed people with it all day.
There's like more than 8 of these silly turn everything into island cards. This is okay.
Yeah, those of you that are not Magic historians, at the time, blue was bad. Turning a land into an island was the same as destroying it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, blue was very good.
We were doing the block that had Confluence and shit in it, so everything was mana symbol mana costs. I was trying to cast a Sprouting Thrynax on turn 3.
Yep.
And getting to, I mean, that was one of the first cuts from my deck, was Sprouting Thrynax. So I could fucking make a 3-drop, you know, like off of colorless mana.
Yeah, it was really nice to play against Burn, and I just go turn 1 Vial, they go Mountain, I go Spreading Seas, they go Mountain, I go Seas Claim, and just start Aether Vialing out Merfolk, and they just keep drawing non-lands, and that was the game.
Yeah, that was back in the day when people still adhered to like the 20-20-20 rule.
Yeah.
Of 20 spells, 20 creatures, 20 lands from the 90s. I think maybe like over time people started tweaking it to 22 lands, which is better.
It was pre-Karsten math, yeah.
Yeah, but before it just became, I think my favorite thing in Arena is when you go to make a constructed deck it starts you with 24 land.
Yes.
And it's like, give me a reason to not play 24.
Yep.
And when you go to draft, it just starts you with 17 land.
It's good that they follow the base math so that you don't have to think about it as much.
Right. Which, to be clear, in any limited deck of 40 cards, you need a damn good reason to not play 17. And usually that reason is maybe I should have 18.
I have forwarded the Karsten article no less, no fewer than fucking 50 times already in the last year because of how many people are in the Discord that have never done mana-based math. Just not once. They have no idea how to do it. I'm like, okay, this is it.
You know, Karsten did all the math for us. All you got to do is look at his chart. Or really, for me, I just memorized like a couple of stats from it. For example, if you want a given color turn one, you want to play your Llanowar Elves turn one, how many sources? 14. Untapped.
Yep.
But what percentage does that give you?
It's above 90.
92.3.
Right. So like you can consistently count on this happening. And again, his math accounts for mulligans as complex, but
yep.
I like the rigors of his math. I like the north of 90% for the bar for this.
Yeah.
Because ever since he started writing those articles, my mana bases became amazing. And all I did was remember that if I wanted like double of a color by turn five, so like your splash color five drop.
Sure.
And you needed, I don't even remember now, I'd have to look it up again. So like fucking 12 or something.
Yep.
And then if you wanted your turn two against like your splash color, I think 13 will do it for that.
Yep.
Back in those olden days when Karsten wrote the first of their articles, before they'd revised any of them, they were just telling you the number of sources in your deck to cast by turn. Someone introduced, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And I'm like, well, how does this work? They're like, oh, it's hypergeometric calculation. I'm like, internet. Oh, there's just a website that's a hypergeometric calculator. Anyone can do this.
I know what hyper means. I understand geometric. It's, you know, we're talking about like circles and spheres and shit.
It is.
Calculation. I'm good at calculation.
Yeah. Pop in 60 cards. Say how many cards you're going to see, 6 or 7 or 8. And how many copies in there. And it'll tell you how many cards you will draw of at least one value of it over what period and what time.
The Batman has no jurisdiction.
See, this is how I know you didn't end up wanting to go to law school, because lawyers don't do math. We refuse, goddammit.
I remember being in a trial once where there's like a closing argument.
Yeah.
And it involves adding up three numbers.
Oh, no.
It was just 3 2-digit numbers. It was the number of yards between, you know, where somebody noticed a vehicle to where they started to brake, where we could see skid marks.
Sure.
And then the number of yards at the skid mark, and then the number of yards to an intersection where the crash occurs.
Okay.
So we're just adding up 3 different 2-digit numbers. It's not that fucking hard.
Oh. And yet.
And yet, like, both lawyers making closing arguments gave different sums for it within their own closing arguments. Like, there were 5 sums in 2 closing arguments, with only the very last one being correct, because it was so when you do, you know, like a civil trial, you at least around these parts, you know, whoever has the burden of proof, they go first, and the other one goes second, and whoever went first gets their rebuttal again because they have the burden of proof, and whoever went second like gets their argument and their rebuttal at the same time. So it was like I'm sitting there with my phone doing the math, and the 5th time was on rebuttal of me like showing the calculator like it's this.
I accept this.
Simple addition.
I don't even like doing math. I just find statistics to be so useful in everyday life that I can't understand why people don't regularly use them.
See, the lawyers will always be like, you know, don't trust our math. Don't trust our math. And they're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Jesus Christ. Just they know their math is bad and they won't pick up a calculator.
Not once. Not even once.
Forget a geometric calculator.
They might yell at their paralegal to pick up a calculator.
Right?
Hypergeometric calculator.
It took some ADHD, so it's fine. It's calmed down.
You ever seen the movie Cube?
Yes.
That's a hypergeometric calculator.
The cube where they're all getting killed?
Yeah, the cube is itself a hypergeometric calculator.
Have you seen the sequel? Cube 2 Hypercube?
I haven't watched Hypercube, but I keep intending to.
I've seen it like 10 times.
I heard that it was even more ridiculous than the first one.
It is. So here's the thing. I saw Hypercube before I saw Cube.
Oh.
And to be clear, both movies, enormous piles of shit. Enormous piles of shit, but they're so fun. They're so fun.
Gumdrop.
Yeah, so the concept of the movie Cube is there's these people who don't know each other, or so it seems, trapped into these rooms that are themselves cubes. So there's a door on the floor. There's a door on the ceiling. There's a door on every wall.
Like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, and you open it up, and there's like some numbers, and if you're good at numbers or whatever, you can go from room to room and survive, and if you're not, the next room will kill you in some horrifying way. And the whole time, all these rooms are like moving around like a giant Rubik's Cube.
Wild.
And they're trying to escape from it. And Hypercube is a it's that, but there's no numbers. The numbers are gone, so the first time I saw it, I didn't know anything about the numbers from the last movie. Oh, but I saw some guy in a suit or something with a briefcase at the very beginning, and he's looking around for numbers and he can't find them, and he just starts crying and he starts praying. And I remember being like, this is a cool movie. Like, this guy is scared shitless. I don't understand what the fuck's going on, but he seems to.
Yeah.
But that wasn't just a cube. It was like a fourth dimensional cube. So there, like, time space was involved and it was infinitely large. And some of the rooms had accelerated time or slowed time. There were, you know, like variants of the people. So one of these people, like, they don't have water or anything. So they're they've got buttons in their mouth to try and make spit. And there's one of them that's going around like killing the other versions of him to like eat them and drink their blood, and is wearing just a bunch of little, you know, they're all wearing whatever they're wearing, but as he's run into like many other versions of him, he's stolen the little buttons or whatever off of his clothes. So he's wearing all of them, and it's just like this trophy of corpses, basically.
Jesus. Awesome.
The first one's a bit more on the reasonably insane side, where, you know, they do these things that they're mentioning, but it's just them going through a room, not an infinite dimension of...
Right, and it's like, this one's full of... And it sprays acid and you melt, and this one has a bunch of fucking swords or something, and it cuts you up.
If you make a noise above a certain decibel in one of the rooms, it causes very tiny blades to shoot out, fully engulfing the room, impaling anything in there. Like, it's great stuff.
Okay.
You've seen Cabin in the Woods, right?
No.
Oh, because they also have one of these cubes in that.
But there's also Cube Zero, the prequel. Have you seen that?
The answer is yes-ish.
Yeah.
Like, I watched
some. It sucks even more.
I watched some.
And I don't remember anything from that one except the ending, which I did enjoy tremendously. It was just another... So Cube Zero, to me, it was like they just did the original cube thing again, just ran back that idea, and it was a carbon copy of the first movie. Except technically it took place before it, but who cares? You know, it's like one of the characters got his brain wiped or something, so he could, you know, that's why he's in the next one, and it adds something to the lore or something.
Open.
Right. But the end of this one is somebody actually does get out. And then there's these two guys, like, again, this is, like you said, Cabin in the Woods. There's these two guys that are running the controls behind the cube that you never get the point of view on in the other movies. And somebody finally gets out and they're like, oh, what do we do now? Okay, read the question. And the question is, do you believe in God? And the guy basically is like, no, this all sucks so much. There's no way. Fuck God. No way. And then if they say that, you press this button and the button is just a flamethrower. And then the two of them are like, well, what if he said he did believe in God? And they're like, well, it's just not on this page, so we don't know. Presumably they were going to make another one of these movies. I don't know.
Fantastic.
It could still happen. I mean, there's going to be someone who finances something ridiculous like
It'll be this podcast, right? Like, this is what, like, people are like, oh my God, the cube movies. It's a revelation.
I'll just wait for AI to be good enough and be like, AI, yo, we're working together. I'm making another cube movie.
Well, that
movie
won't be canon, though. We won't canonically know what happens if you say you believe in God. My theory, they burn you also.
I mean, it would make sense, right? Catch 22, that.
I mean, they already threw you in this fucked up torture cube. It's just like, nah, fuck you, no matter what. Illusion of choice, you die.
I don't know, you could have a really weird spin on it of that. No, they believe. They're a true believer. Let them go. No one will believe them anyway.
Release them into death.
If they tell everyone this experience and then said that they're a very religious person, everyone's going to think they're a nutter anyway.
So speaking of cube, the ice cube is coming up in just a few weeks at this point.
So near.
Has everybody figured out what they're running?
Mono red,
really?
We're talking vintage here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to play Oath.
I figured.
I haven't spent any time prepping anything else, and
it's Oath.
I love my list. I'm very good at playing my list.
Yeah, I'm on Doomsday.
I've done it in compromised mental states many times. I'm capable of it.
I like Doomsday because if I lose, I'm at least 90% sure I can blame myself for it. You know, like that list is so fucking good that if I'm losing, it's probably because I'm playing poorly.
That suits you well because it's such an emotional high-low bet.
Why did you lose? Yes. To myself again.
Right, yeah, because like if you do really badly, it's because goddamn you sucked today.
Right.
And if you do really well, you're like, oh, wow, I played so great. I'm smart. That's why I won.
Or the occasional, I drew the turn one, turn two win like 7 times.
Or what if you just go with an even record like, mid. Even worse.
Either way, I want it to be an emotional roller coaster. I really want to push it this year like I always do. It's just important. You know, like as a person who grew up loving sports and loving that emotional roller coaster, I'm still all about it today. You got to have those narratives and really push them in.
Speaking of emotional roller coasters, I heard a lot of TVs got smashed over the weekend.
Oh my God, yes.
Womp, 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 womp. I didn't realize that had become a thing.
Yeah.
Where people are like now smashing their TVs because they disagree with the results of a sports game.
Nobody's happier than the TV companies. Nobody's happier. Finally, they have relevance to like buy a shitload more.
And I just saw video after video after video of people smashing their fucking TVs.
So it came out of Dallas. That was where this all started because the Cowboys fans lost their fucking shit about 2 years ago.
Oh, of course, the stupid shit started with Cowboys fans.
Yes. And they were like, they just had a round of TikToks about them breaking their TVs. And I'm like, that's a very Texas thing to do when you lose a football game. Fair enough.
Yeah. And for the record, I'm not a sports fan, but I understand that Cowboys fans are shitheads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've known that since I was a child.
I didn't know it had like
every school bully I remember was wearing a Cowboys, they had like those fluffy, like, winter coats.
Yeah, or like a Cowboys sweatshirt or a fucking beanie or something. There's just like if you're the bully on the playground that's gonna grow up to be a cop, that's who likes the Cowboys.
Fair.
Then you see this person like, is that a Green Bay Packers? Oh, you're gonna smoke.
So do you think like at the Texas Sam's Club, you don't buy one giant TV, you get them in a 3-pack?
Probably. I wasn't aware it had spread though. Like this was a very uniquely Dallas thing for the last few years.
I think people wanted to hop on the train of breaking shit. I don't know. Durst.
I remember growing up, you know, some of my uncles and shit would have these styrofoam bricks that they would throw at the TV, which was hilarious because even as a kid, I was like, that's a pacifier.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a fucking pacifier. But yeah, like the passy's not good enough anymore. These big babies need to take real dumps with their whole butt.
Yep. It's kind of wild that's happening. Now, granted, my favorite Super Bowl victory was when the Eagles won because the city of brotherly love had so many riots and so many fires get started when they won the Super Bowl. They like tried to burn down their own city in celebration. That was wild.
Wait, what city?
Brotherly love, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Eagles. Last time they won the Super Bowl, they fucking rioted all over their own city.
Lebowski, I hate the fucking Eagles.
Yeah.
Different Eagles, but equally true.
You know, if I can bring in some Lebowski, I'm going to feel good about it.
Always, always.
Either way, the important thing is that they timed out how many seconds they gave to Taylor Swift so that they could post it after the game.
How many?
54. 54 seconds.
Well, I heard it was in overtime.
Yeah.
And many, many, many of the bets had to do with Taylor Swift.
Wasn't this the longest Super Bowl game in history or in modern history?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, overtime is crazy. Overtime. Yeah. It's very uncommon to get to overtime. So, yes.
So, what became of the conspiracy then? Because the Chiefs won, but there was no endorsement of Joe Biden to my recollection. I didn't watch it and I haven't heard any news that they endorsed Joe Biden.
The big news out of the Swiftie Nation is that she's now referring to Kelce as her partner as she's posting videos. And they're so happy because she hasn't done that in 10 years, apparently, on social media.
Yeah, so, shocker of shockers. It wound up being more about Taylor Swift than Joe Biden.
So if something goes wrong, we get another banger, banger album?
Yeah, almost certainly. Yeah.
Well, she's got an album
1989
that's coming out that she was talking about at the Grammys.
1969
has been in development for some amount of time.
Yeah. The Tortured Soul of a Poet or something.
Yeah, it has a really dumb name. It has a really dumb name, and I'm afraid.
I am too. But
the name is like cringe if a 13-year-old came up with it.
The good news.
The Tortured Pole of a Poet.
Fair.
That'd be a good one.
The Tortured Tug.
Yeah,
the Tortured Tug of the Poet. I mean, yeah, that'd be amazing. They definitely made a lot of errors on Twitter when referring to Taylor Swift during the Super Bowl era because after the game, she like ran, you know, gave Kelce a hug, kiss, all that. And the top comment on Twitter is like, Taylor Swift's box erupts with joy when because it was the whole box like coming down.
I don't think those are mistakes.
No, that sounds like good writing to me.
That sounds like someone who understands wit.
That sounds like tremendous copy.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Got to read about it this morning. Well worth it.
Speaking of great news this morning, have you heard about the most watched trailer in the history of movie trailers?
Deadpool 3.
Correct. 24 hours.
The very first joke in that trailer is a pegging joke at Disney's expense.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, I'll just describe the very beginning to you then, and to anybody else watching this, and then you can go watch it online like three times the way I did. In the beginning, we got, you know, Wade's there, and he's like got all his people around. You know, everything's cool now. They've got a cake. He's not wearing his Deadpool outfit. He's got his ugly, burnt-ass face, and he's wearing a fucking wig.
Like
a bad wig.
Yuppie wig.
Yeah. But everything's cool and shit. And the doorbell rings to his apartment. He goes outside and it's the fucking Time Variance Authority. Woo-woo. And they bust out one of those, you know, like
sticks.
Beat sticks. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Closes the door behind him. He's like, all right, pegging's nothing new for me. He looks straight at the camera, but it is for Disney. And off we go.
Yep.
Most watched trailer ever, apparently.
Awesome.
Yep.
I'm so excited to watch that.
In under 24 hours, it pulled that off. Like, it's 24 hours, it took the record.
There's fewer things that unite more people than wanting to see Ryan Reynolds be Deadpool again, and especially, like, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine aspect, and especially now that, like, we know it's going to be this raunchy in the MCU Disney where we're, like, going straight to the pegging jokes in the teaser trailer.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're going to meet at least one, at least two different Wolverines. Only one of them we've really seen, but there looks like it might be another one in the beginning of that trailer.
Oh, so like the Wolverine handoff to the new Wolverine in a way.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Slide them into the MCU. Do you think we'll get like another Logan Wolverine, or we'll get like the X2 Wolverine where I think it's Laura?
We're getting Patch.
Who's Patch?
Patch was in Wolverine, wore an eye patch, and then they
eye patch Wolverine.
And then and then they would go gamble and do things in I can't remember the name of the country. I think it starts with an M. It's the country in the Marvel universe. There's no laws and mutants are there, and it's just this weird super zone.
That's probably gonna be another Hugh Jackman though, right?
It'll still be Hugh Jackman. We've got a background look of him, but it looks like Patch from the comics. So I think we're gonna get Hugh Jackman as multiple different Wolverines.
That'd be so cool.
Like we're gonna get the whole thing.
So he's not done then. Is what you're saying. He's not actually going to be done being Wolverine
after
this. Who
fucking knows? That's what he said after Logan.
I know.
He's been done doing it three times now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. He wants more money. Got it.
Or just he wants good projects.
He's getting older and it's really hard for him to get into Wolverine shape.
Yeah.
Because it results in like higher blood pressure and because of his age, he just has to put on more muscle.
Yeah.
Because he can't just get down to sinew the way he could 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. So he's got to bulk up, which is, you know, bad on your back.
Yeah, I remember Thor's,
stunt double was having that issue.
Got fucking back issues trying to lift the same amount. Jesus.
But that's the fun thing here is, well, in this one, it looks like we're getting Wolverine from the X-Men 1990s cartoon Wolverine. Like, we're actually going to get that universe's Wolverine straight
up. Oh, that'd be so cool.
That's what it looks like.
There's an episode of the 90s cartoon where it's like Thanksgiving and Wolverine walks up to the turkey, pops out one claw, cuts off a piece of turkey, and then is eating the turkey leg off of his claw.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
10 out of 10 Wolverine moment.
Yeah. Hurts himself for food. I understand. I do.
Yeah. Think about retracting. I mean, it's a good thing he has the healing factor because he's like retracting that back in with bird grease on it and shit. So his body like really quick fights off the infection of that.
Oh, I'm just imagining the pain of like your skin trying to heal as you're retracting it. God, that's gotta suck.
That's when he
suck.
Does the slow pushes. That's why it's so more menacing. Like, I'm hurting myself a lot just to intimidate you.
That's according to at least one comic I've read, why he likes drinking so much.
Because it
fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's one where he
said that multiple times with the, why are you drinking? Because this hurts.
Right. Yeah, infinite healing, but like it all still hurts.
Oof. Yeah, I don't think you'd want a lot of your memory after a certain point.
It's not about memory. It's just about dulling the physical sensation of pain.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm saying it also serves double duty.
But he can't really black out. His body stops him from blacking out.
Unless he takes a bullet to the head.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, that's how you end it.
That is a brain-penetrating bullet.
So you take a brain-penetrating bullet every year, just data dump?
Maybe that's why it doesn't have so many memories.
Right.
Or maybe it's because his fucking girlfriend keeps getting fridged.
I just like when he mentions the...
Or yeah, turning into a betrayer.
Tattooers were a great thing for gals he just met.
Right. Wolverine getting tattoos.
Tattooed on me.
Oh, my
Wolverine
God.
Talks about doing it. It's just like, yeah, that's funny.
Gets tattoos so he gets laid.
Oh, my God. What a trick.
What a con, right?
Yeah. It's gone the next day. Oh, my God.
And so is he. Back into the wild norths of Canada.
Wow. But what a game to be able to play. Just to get the, I mean, and it's honest, but Connie, it's perfect.
Do you think when he spends like a long time up in the far north of Canada being like a murderous lumberjack that he's fucking the grizzly bears?
He's fucking whatever he wants. If the grizzly bears are what he wants, yes.
I would doubt it. It's just there's always some other weird person out there that he hooks up with.
Yeah, somehow.
He always finds the
somehow,
other person.
Somehow Wolverine
there.
Just like goes into some fucking bar that's like 100 miles north of Anchorage and finds like some dime that needs to be white knighted out of there.
I think he can sense it.
It's the ballad of Wolverine.
Sense of smells for the, you know, like in distress. And he's like,
I smell a woman in Alaska.
I'm horny and she's only 42 miles away. This is easy.
Yeah, he'll drink his way right through, but he can hold his liquor and that's so impressive.
I don't think I've read anything where Wolverine talks about using drugs, and I think that would be a fun thing to read of his experience with psychedelics.
Wait a minute, Logan, he's getting like drunk and disgracefully so. He cannot hold his liquor in that movie.
Well, he couldn't hold his healing in that movie. Biggest issue.
So the thing is, he probably wasn't like not holding his liquor well. More so, he was probably drinking what he'd always drank. It's just because his healing factor is like,
Okay, but I could drink what I used to always drink, and the results would be me not holding my liquor. Even though once upon a time that would have been fine.
Fair. I don't know.
Even Wolverine gets older.
To me, the beauty of that movie was knowing that as he's getting drunker, he's probably feeling more relief than he has ever felt in his lifetime. Like as he's simultaneously becoming the saddest boy, he's also like numb for the first time to adamantium.
Right.
He is a sad boy.
No, he's not.
A sad boy. Well, the fucking trailer is hurt.
Living my fantasy. He's so sad and like, he kind of can kill himself over and over, but he doesn't die. He just wakes up to be sad again and drink
walks
more.
Walks up to Cyclops. Hey, bub, I like your girl. I'm going to take her now.
I mean, to be fair, in my opinion, that death that he had is absolutely my favorite possible shot at dying. Because right before you die, and you die defending one you love, you get to murder everybody you hate. That is the best death you can get in this world.
What?
Oh, absolutely. You get to murder like 200 people that you've hated and then... Know that you die
you
saving the person
the
you love.
Number is this oh, that? Already?
It's just tremendous.
There's
the way
no
you
way
you get
that
God
those
mode
people
for five
represented
minutes.
All of Wolverine's enemies.
No. But like he gets to wipe out some substantial ones while he's in God mode for like 5 minutes, and he knows it.
That's true. And then his daughter gets to be Wolverine and like kill the rest and make her own enemies.
Right. Like passes the mantle on. It's such a beautiful finale. I've watched it so many times. I bought that movie. I fucking love the way that ended.
So do you like the color version or the black and white version more?
That's the big question.
The black and white's technically better in my opinion, but I do like the color version still.
I just watch them, man.
They're 50-50 for me. I like them both.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking like Mad Max, I'm going to go black and white.
Artistically speaking, I think Wolverine was better black and white, but you know, if I'm just trying to enjoy it on a Saturday, a little, you know, death sticky up, then yeah.
The reason I like the black and white
Wait, how many
version
times have you seen it?
A lot.
Is because of the scene where like both of the scenes where it's the clone of Wolverine who's like young Logan and current Logan are interacting.
Yeah.
Have like a little bit of an uncanny valley to them in color, but in black and white, like it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
My eye is noticing fewer of the digital imperfections.
That's fair. That actually is a really good point on it.
But again, your point's solid too, because if you're hitting the death sticks, you're not noticing as much either.
No, not at all. I'm just there for so I can get my feels going, you know, really get amped up for that finale.
Finally, that finale. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking lovely.
So we've got
Wolverine.
Overload. We don't know how grand the Wolverine story will be or if Wolverine will be back, but Wolverine is definitely almost, I'd say it's 99.99 that we're going to have at least two different Wolverines.
We're going to get, it looks like a raging asshole Wolverine for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I hope we get a really goofy Wolverine, which the eye patch one would do well for.
Yeah, so many jokes.
I like the idea of the yellow suit Wolverine being the raging asshole.
That'll work for me.
Yeah, yeah, that works in the timeline nicely.
Now, here's the other fun thing to bring up the question. In that scene where you get to see, you know, it's the Wolverine shadow thing right there, off to Deadpool's right. So if you're watching the screen on the left there, there's a comic book. That comic book is a real comic book. It's Secret Wars with Dr. Doom on the cover.
Yeah. Like, I thought I saw a little clip of Dr. Doom in that trailer, as a matter of fact.
It's a mask. It's a mask that's, it doesn't look like Doom. It could be, but
maybe it's like a Doom goon or like a multiverse Doom.
It's possible.
Or wait, multiverse. Isn't that a thing with Doom? Like there's not multiverse Dooms. They're just his Doom.
I think
like that's the biggest difference between Doom and Kang.
There's something with Doom that Doom is Doom, but I don't know exactly how far it goes. Like if there's not actually any multiversal or if he's just rare.
It'd be kind of cool if he was singular. That would make him so creepy.
Oh, right up there with from Multiverse of Madness.
America Chavez?
There we go. Thank you. Yeah, because they're a singularity.
Yeah, just one.
That'd be cool if we brought in Dr. Doom as a singular, but I'm betting we're just going to see some Doom because we know that the actor who played Ben Grimm back from a Fantastic Four was seen in costume.
As Ben Grimm?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Yes. So, oh, yes. In a Deadpool movie?
This is what,
oh,
it looks my like, God. It looks like that's going to happen. We might actually visit all of the old stuff.
That would be so good. If we just went through all like the 20th century Fox bullshit.
It's, you know, that's where that's, it looks like it could happen in brief scenes, not much touching into it.
Yeah, the trailer also shows the TVA basically kidnapped Deadpool so he will save the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, we don't have...
which is a fun little meta thing, because that's kind of what needs to happen here.
We don't have Mobius this time. We now have Paradox, which is another member of the TVA, just a different person.
Okay. Interesting. Now, why would Deadpool need to save the multiverse? Hasn't Loki done that at the end of season
two?
No,
the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which is different from where Loki was?
I don't know. He literally says MCU.
Loki's actually outside of the time stream because they're managing everything. The Earth that we watch for the majority of the Marvel movies is labeled 616.
Right.
The one, the Earth that Deadpool is from is not that number.
Oh, it's
6969.
No.
It's completely right. Different. 69420.
616 is the prime universe, but like your old X-Men movies from the 90s, completely different universe. Yep. And your spin-off series, The Gifted, completely different universe. And your all this stuff, or the early 90s X-Men movie before the X-Men movie officially, it had a different title, like New Mutants or something. That's even another universe.
Do you think we'll get multiple Deadpools?
Yes, I've already seen that. There's at least three.
Could this be like the handoff then if like Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are sincere about not doing this again?
Well,
that we can like hand off the baton in this movie to a new Wolverine and Deadpool? Because I want more than one of these already. I want more than
the
one.
Three Deadpools I've seen, two of them are just Ryan Reynolds in costume, and the third one is the Deadpool dog. I think it's a Chihuahua.
I want Loki and Wolverine as a movie. Like Deadpool Wolverine is like such a cool pairing, and it's just got me thinking like what other pairings I want. I think everybody wants, you know, Spider-Man Daredevil at some point.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Deadpool would also be awesome.
Yeah. Who do you put with the Hulk?
With like the Bruce Banner Hulk?
Which Hulk?
I mean, Edward Norton if I'm having my druthers, but I'm not probably going to, so.
Maybe Hulk and Hulk? Like both of them?
Ooh, can we make, Edward Norton play Grey Hulk?
I'd be in, yeah.
I just want Edward Norton to come back and be acknowledged as a Hulk, like in a multiversal way.
That'd be
cool.
Do you think he's cooled off enough? Like, is he chilled out?
Yeah, I just watched him in Asteroid City.
I was going to say, he's been in a lot of the artsy films lately.
That's kind of become his thing ever since the Fight Club days.
I
think he's
cool. He's just like, I can do this, and this stuff makes me happy.
Yeah, before that, he was, Grand Budapest Hotel, same director. He was in that, too.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah. So, maybe.
And before that, he was in another Wes Anderson movie, Moonrise Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he's just been doing every Wes Anderson as it's come out.
He now is to Wes Anderson like what Leo DiCaprio is to Scorsese.
I think so, yeah. He's just rolling straight with one director. Yeah, fuck. I mean, if it works, it works. It seems to be his kind of gig. So, and it wasn't the issue with the Hulk that he had a different creative direction he wanted to take it.
Yeah, Edward Norton wanted a lot of involvement, and I don't remember the details of it. He either was promised that things would go a certain way, and that was a lie, or he thought he was promised things, and it just didn't go that way. Mm. Either way, he wanted the Hulk to be something other than what it was.
Was that Ang Lee?
No. Ang Lee did the one with Eric Bana.
Eric Bana, okay. Who did the one with Norton?
I don't know. Just somebody.
Somebody who was half decent. It wasn't like it was a banger of a movie, but it wasn't bad.
For its time, it was a banger.
That's fair.
Like, I mean, when that movie came out, it was an absolute banger. It's just we're looking back now at like every other Marvel movie. I mean, even the original Iron Man went from being an absolute banger to like a 7.
Yeah, it's hard when you have Endgame, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still giving the first Iron Man a lot on that, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, but you fetishize Robert Downey Jr.
I appreciate Robert Downey Jr.
What a great way to say that.
Speaking of awesome and appreciation, I read someone that had the best idea for the Deadpool Wolverine movie. That's the after credit scene. Like this, if this after credit scene doesn't happen, it's almost disappointing. They're like, so it needs to be Loki in that chair, but just eating popcorn. Like a quick clip of just,
oh yeah, getting ready for the Wolverine Loki sequel.
Like that's it. Like that's so much. Just that's so perfect. And we're gonna get Loki in this. I don't see any chance that we don't at least get a shot of Loki.
Yeah, I mean the TVA is there. We're doing multiverse stuff.
Yeah,
Tom Hiddleston would bring so much to the mix in this.
Imagine if what's happening in this is Loki is trimming off universes and Deadpool's running around picking up people from universes to bring into one. Like eventually, and I'm grabbing the X-Men.
But Loki's not trimming shit. That's part of why he's doing his whole sort of sacrifice thing, right? So they can all exist naturally.
I shall be Yggdrasil forever alone, right? And keeping everything alive.
He doesn't end up having to do that.
It's a plot mechanism, I hope not. Man. That feels like we would just be turning him into Odin at that point.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were going for.
Oh no, please no.
He's just the new Odin.
I like cooler the idea Odin. Of Odin making moves like that. That's absolutely like an Odin thing to do.
What if
completely 180 it and just be
Loki
like
Loki getting trapped by rules is not a very Loki thing.
Right.
What if it's just it's a Kang thing. Kangs are eating off universes. Loki's warning someone to stop this but won't take the action themselves because it would break neutrality.
What if it's Dr. Doom played by someone who didn't beat the shit out of his girlfriend and never will, please?
Jesus. So that's the question. Do you think we'll get the full Fantastic Four? Like, are we going to get a Reed Richards?
Apparently Fantastic Four is the Phase 6 kickoff movie, or at least it was at one point. I don't know if it still is.
Well, we get them in Deadpool.
I hope so. I hope we get every. I hope Deadpool's 4 fucking hours long.
Are we looking for Magic Christmas right? Land? Is that what we're wanting this point? At this
yeah,
point?
I mean, that's what it has been. The first movie even happened was Magic Christmas Land. It was nuts that movie happened. Do you remember like when Ryan Reynolds fucking leaked the test footage and just made that movie happen?
That was awesome.
And then they put it out and everyone was like, I don't know, R-rated, whatever. And then it was like the highest grossing R-rated movie immediately.
I had arguments with people in bars where they're like, there's no way it actually happened. I'm like, it's going to happen. This is too big. This is too just. And you're arguing it in bars and everyone's excited either way. Everyone, the people who are like, it'll never happen, want to be wrong.
Right. And then in the fucking Deadpool 2, we got like the best juggernaut ever by far.
Yes, that was.
And we got Cable. We got an awesome portrayal of Cable.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking damn good movie. It was a fucking hilarious movie at the very end of it. He goes and like shoots Ryan Reynolds reading the Green Lantern script and like kills the old Deadpool and like the entire time Hugh Jackman has been like not going to do this, but they've been teasing Hugh Jackman since movie fucking one. Scene one of movie one.
They knew where they were going. They knew what the goal was.
Right. I don't put anything past what can happen here. Magic Christmas Land is what has happened.
Now, because we know that at some point they're going to bring back either Brolin as Thanos or Brolin as Cable or both, which one do you think happens first?
Cable.
Possibly both in the same scene.
Ooh.
Possibly That's both in the same Vegas scene.
Odds. Going for it. All right. All right.
But I want both.
Porque no los dos, homie.
Right.
Now, did you notice any of the... There's apparently a 20th Century Fox sign in the Deadpool thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're having a fight in front of it all broken up and stuff.
Yeah, in some kind of like post-apocalyptic world.
Yep, off to the right of that is the Golden Gate Bridge that Magneto ripped up in that X-Men Last Stand, too.
Oh, my God.
It's just lying there.
I can't wait.
I got to see this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you do.
When this podcast completes, we're going to just resolve that. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why you get these little details for now, so you just have an idea of what's coming.
And
you're just no. You're not getting away from it this easily. I wouldn't have promised that.
Yeah, you know you're getting edged down now.
This is.
Oh God, it is a proper edging. Eh?
I get to mess with you, and you know directly that I'm messing with you. There's no underlying like, no, I might not be. I'm just messing with you, and it's fun. I'm really good with the dark side. You know, I can really get the feed off of the energy thing, and you're just
you little energy vampire. You.
That's how the dark side works, yo.
Edgergy.
Study Darth Bane.
Edgergy vampire. The edgiest vampire, indeed.
Oh, that could be a great.
The Lord of Edge.
Yeah. Edgy the vampire.
Zero Lord of Edge.
I bet you could make a show about a vampire in high school called Edgy the Vamp.
Edgy the Vamp.
Oh yeah, that reminds me of like, you know, vampires, Transylvania, brings me back to Pennsylvania. Where Donald Trump in the last 48 hours to a crowd in Pennsylvania told them that if he doesn't become the president, they're gonna rename Pennsylvania and it won't be Pennsylvania anymore.
What? Why?
So I think it's gonna be, you know, Transylvania, and the instead of Pittsburgh, it'll be Wokesburg is the capital.
So just going for the dumbest fear thing they can go for.
Yeah, Pennsylvania will go from being a he or a she to a they them.
And this actually is what people are actually paying attention to? Of course they are.
I don't know. I just know that he fucking said it, that Pennsylvania won't be called Pennsylvania anymore.
It sure has been quiet the last 4 years. And now, well,
kind of.
It was a pandemic.
I know, but like,
it's been less loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd forgotten how noisy it gets with that shit, where like every day is another, I can't believe he did this shit again.
Oh, man. Yeah. The volume's just going to go up too. we are in the year.
Yep. All year.
Oh, I wish God. It wasn't a leap year that we did elections, because like, of course they picked a year that's just one day fucking longer.
One more day for ad runs.
One more day before the first Tuesday in November. Thanks a fucking lot. And of course, you know, that's not even the end of it anymore. I'm sure we won't like get the results. It's like a 50-50. And we've got to wait 5 days and see who's going to invade the Capitol about it.
We'll have to have a completely new election. I'll find out that it has to be redone due to...
There'll be a long legal battle. The Supreme Court will dictate.
Either of the candidates between now and then could have a stroke. And either of them could have a stroke that doesn't completely debilitate them and continue running anyway with like half a working face. Like, no, I'm still 100%.
That would be the claim, wouldn't it?
Do you think if Trump is the one that gets the stroke that fucks half of his face, that like half of his fake hair will slump down too?
I just know it'll make him more relatable, and that's the sad thing. The people that are voting for him, they'll just be like, I get it.
Yeah, now they got stroke brain too. That's right. For fucking sure.
Like, I get it. He's like us now.
I'm just wondering if he'd use a screen like the Wizard of Oz or like a mask. I'm not sure.
Joe Biden comes out with his fucking stroke mask like Phantom of the Opera with an ice cream cone.
No, yeah, that would just
be where he is immediately.
But he can't double fist him anymore because, you know, the one arm can't hold it.
Joe Biden just comes out with his big aviators on. You don't realize anything.
So you remember how like John McCain had a hand that basically himself. Didn't work, so he just had a pen in that hand all the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I love
yeah.
Bob Dole.
So, oh, it was Bob Dole. Yeah. Okay, I mixed him up. Yeah, John McCain couldn't lift his arms. Yeah, so Bob Dole had the pen in the non-working hand because it was the hand-shaking hand.
Yeah.
And so like if Joe Biden has a stroke, will they just like put a cookie in that hand?
You can't put ice cream, it'll melt.
He would be so distracted all day long, he'd be looking at a cookie that he can't get until he eventually figures out that like he can use the one hand to pick the other one up. And then like he's just eating cookies all day long.
Most productive day of his goddamn life.
Down in the war room, you could just bring like snacks with you. Is there a rule? DEFCON 1, crunch. Stop eating Doritos.
Didn't somebody post into the crew chat also that Vernon Supreme doubled Robert Kennedy's Jr.'s fucking votes in a state or
I
some shit?
I haven't verified that yet, but it seems possible.
Oh my God.
I mean, Vernon Supreme has been running for everything for decades.
Sounding like a better option every day. Jesus.
I think Vernon is still promising every citizen a pony is still the platform.
Only politician has not, like, they haven't failed to deliver yet. That's all I'm putting it out there.
They wear a boot on their head.
Yeah.
Whoever is Vermin Supreme, like, that's the best Guinness Book of World Records kind of thing to have. It's just like, oh, yeah, he's that crazy boot head-wearing motherfucker that runs for president every year. And for some reason, he's the crazy person running to president that, like, we make a point of, like, remember Vermin Supreme every time we do this.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a dedicated, they're aware of it. They always send people in for interviews and stuff. It's real.
And Vermin Supreme talks like an ambassador from the country of Guar.
I mean, their name is Vermin Supreme.
Right. Vermin Supreme is probably a Guar roadie the rest of the time.
Got to save up for those elections 4 years at a time.
Okay, baby. Yeah, that's my conspiracy theory with Vermin Supreme, is it's just big Guar trying to influence American politics.
Vermin Supreme's the actual alien that Guar encountered for all their inspiration, that decided to just, this is better being a fan of Guar than being whatever it was.
Odorous Arungus is still alive in Mexico with Tupac.
There we go. That one I like.
And they're making a flute album.
So do you think after this year, because this election,
back vocals.
this election's going to be fucked one way or another. Like Biden, Trump, Correa, nobody's excited. Do you think
maybe we'll get really lucky and they'll both have heart attacks and we can at least get like Harris versus Haley?
That would be fun.
Like politically, I'm not any more excited about either of them.
Sure.
I think they're basically the exact same on policy, but they have like non-demented brains, at least from time. I'd
be way more excited about them instead of Trump v. Biden, for example.
I bet either one of them, Haley or Harris, could write a clean 250-word, three-point paper. I don't believe Trump could do it. I don't believe Biden could do it.
Well, to bring up the Biden jokes again, remember back when, well, you might not remember this, back in the day, Biden ran against Ronald Reagan, if you remember, and Biden lost the nomination thing at that time for finding out that his college papers, that's right, were forgeries.
That's hilarious.
You know that thing going on with Harvard where they're like, your background, these things look like they were stolen and that? Yeah, that happened to Biden.
Yeah, when fucking too busy eating ice cream, probably.
I remember when he voted for segregation.
Can you imagine though, if it was Harris and Haley, where it's now two women and they're both non-white?
Yeah.
Or like half white, but you know, racists don't see it that way.
Right, right. It would be interesting because we might actually get a federal abortion thing pushed through.
Let's remember the most important thing. HVH, both women. Do you know what this country's going to do? Not be certain who they're voting for.
This is how Vermin Supreme wins.
Oh my God.
Misogyny in America is actually that strong. Misogyny mixed with xenophobia just suppresses them both, and the only white guy left is Vermin Supreme, and all of a sudden, here's Odorous Arungus back from the dead, fucking running the Department of Defense.
I love it if in this scenario it's Vermin Supreme and Bobby Kennedy Jr., and Vermin Supreme beats him.
Well, also, this gets the Triple H thing, because then we had, you know, Hillary.
Oh God.
like a fucking WWF thing where Harris just kind of taps out and in comes Hillary with a fucking folding chair.
The original H walks in.
Okay, and then Haley taps out for Palin.
Oh.
Hillary v. Palin. Let's fucking go.
But now we got a dingbat in here again. We got a non-working brain again.
But it'll be so entertaining.
I'm just using H letter. That's the rule.
I don't know another one.
There we go. That's the point.
Okay.
Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman.
Famous H name.
I'd vote for her.
I used to love Celebrity Deathmatch. I think that should come back.
God.
What? Dude, those were great in the day.
It was.
They were claymation.
The less of them there were, the better they were, though.
True.
It started taking off and they had like a new episode every week three rounds, you just got tired of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the rap battles of history.
Yeah, epic rap battles of history.
Yeah, like the first few were fire, but like once you got into every week, it was just, meh.
It started really showing the limitations of those guys as musicians, too.
Yeah.
It was like the same flows over and over and over and over, and the same insults just with different words.
But the first one was
fire.
It's
the problem of so much marketing, though. It's something gets big, and people are like, yeah, I'm going to pay you to do this. And you're like, shit, if I don't get paid to do this right now, I'm not going to probably get paid for it.
Let me repackage what worked.
Yeah, and it's like, here's the end of it. Bye, everyone.
We're done taking chances. We need season two.
Let's water it down and get paychecks, baby.
I have other ideas, though. So I'm going to use this money and go do those. And then when those get brought up, yeah, it's going to get shitty again. And this is going to keep going.
Season two paychecks, baby. That's what we're about.
Creativity gets stifled by capitalism most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
70% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
I'd say to the extent that capitalism is not stifling of creativity, it's because it creates situations of conflict that inspires art.
And then they crap on it again.
Right, but then nobody sees it, and whoever it is dies in poverty, only to be famous many years later all the world around and have their paintings on fucking credit cards.
But hey, capitalism, it works, right?
How mad do you think Van Gogh would be if you just fucking dialed him up real quick? Just pulled him out of the clone vat or something? And just like, yeah, you died penniless, but you're like the most famous artist in the world. And this thing, like this piece of plastic can buy anything, really. And your painting's on it.
Anyway.
We're going to drop you back in time. Maybe don't kill yourself, whatever.
Even if you... Well, when did Van Gogh die?
A couple days after he shot himself.
Oh, see, yeah.
He didn't do a good job of it.
Yeah. Wow. So that's a secret of every big suicide in history is time travelers just go back and just give him an idea of here's what you didn't get.
There is an entire arc of Doctor Who episodes involving a couple different Whos. We get Tennant and I think we get Matt Smith in it that involves going back in time multiple times to deal with Van Gogh.
Oh, yeah. They bring Van Gogh actually forward at one point.
Yeah, they bring Van Gogh forward to see like a big art display. Mm. And then like the curator is being played by Bill Nighy. Just talking about like how great Van Gogh is, and Van Gogh is just like overwhelmed and crying with joy, and they drop him back off in time and he kills himself anyway.
Perfect. Perfect.
Just with the knowledge of, oh no, he's going to do this regardless. So this is just, you know, nice. Could that be what triggers it? Shush.
Yeah, right, right. Like it could have been so good, except he lives in a time where everyone thinks he sucks.
Oh, buddy.
And his brother's like, I don't know, I'll fucking help you out, you goddamn helpless loser.
Wow.
The big success that now is just known as Van Gogh's brother.
Wow. Brutal. Brutal.
There you go. Okay. Are you good now?
Yeah, I want to go see the trailer.
Okay.
All right. Nighty night. See you later.
Go watch the trailer some more. Make it the biggest.